Well, I would appreciate your prayers again today. I have something I've been thinking about, and we need the Lord to help us bring it out in a way that would be profitable. I want to look at Romans 14th chapter. I'll start with the 16th verse. It says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." Particularly want to focus in on the 19th verse. "Let us therefore follow the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith edify one another." This writing here of Paul's was, I think to really understand the gravity of it, we need to understand what was going on at the time, what the situation was. Of course, this was the early day of the gospel dispensation, and you think about what this would have been like to have the differences of people that were congregated. The gospel came along, and there was Jews. The background was the Jews who had been trained and raised in the way of the Jewish religion, that had a very strong background in that. There was people that knew nothing about the Jewish religion involved there. There was people from all kinds of different backgrounds and places and people and brought them together, and you can't hardly get people of the same family to agree with one another that's raised by the same parents in the same culture, in the same place, in the same way, and it would be really hard to get them to agree on, you know, how much salt you put in your potatoes. I mean, the differences of opinions and things are right, and I think about it a lot because I've been dealing with different cultures, so much different than the culture that I grew up with, and this is just to bring out to this point what Paul was making a point of, and a purpose of yours is that people are different everywhere. I was recently talking to Brother Fred from Uganda, and he's a real decent guy. I like talking with him, and I was talking with him, and he sends me videos of their services, Sunday services. I see them quite often. And the people in Uganda, there is a culture in Uganda. And the Ugandan people like to dance. I mean, dancing is a strong part of the culture there. It isn't a strong part of our culture. You want you to understand something? We don't dance here. And you would think it's strange if I started here in service, and I would be strange if I did. But I don't have a cultural background from the time that I was little dancing. We didn't dance at the house. I don't remember anybody dancing at the house. Dad didn't dance. Mom didn't dance. Nobody danced. I don't have dancing in me. Don't even think about dancing, the things that we do. But their culture was dancing. They liked to dance. And so I see their services, and I was troubled about some of it, and I was in a conversation with Brother Fred about it, and I was telling him about one particular video that he sent to me. And this was not an argument, it was a good conversation, and I was asking him about this video, and how can you possibly endorse that was beyond the pale of dancing. And he told me, he said, maybe true, maybe so, but that particular dance isn't something that he was just doing. That is a cultural dance here. Well, I said and told him that the gospel exceeds culture. I mean, there is things in culture that's okay, but the scripture goes above culture. And anyway, the conclusion I had at the end of all of this that we was talking about was is that I said to him, I see a lot of your services and the swaying and some of them, I don't see anything indecent or wrong, and it's an expression, and I can put that within the realms by God's help and grace. I can put that in the realms of something that's acceptable, but all of it's not acceptable. But it was their culture, and there's different people, and you can't bring us all together and get us to agree on anything. It's what Paul's dealing with, and the folks in Pakistan are so different than the people in Uganda. The people in Pakistan are very culturally rigid, very strict and rigid, especially with women behavior and what women wear and where they go and how they behave themselves. It's very, very strict. It goes beyond, way beyond. It puts them in a bondage. And I say to their culture, culture needs to bend to the gospel. The gospel's more important than that. But you can't change it. So Paul's dealing with this. If you want to think about this in our lands today, we here, most of us, I mean, I was born and raised here. Not everybody was, but I was born and raised here and have got a lot of cultural ideas of the way things are here in this. Could you imagine, see if we can get this together. Let's go to Central Oklahoma and get a few of the I want to call them, the Native American descents from there. Let's go get some of the deep Southern people. Let's get some of the woke people. Let's get some of the modern Gen Zs, and let's get them all together and see what we can agree on. We'll throw in some Democrats and some independents, some Republicans, and we'll throw them all in and see what we agree with. This is what Paul was facing, basically what he was dealing with at this particular time right here. Is what he was dealing with was the mess of all this. You ever hear the saying, are you willing to die on that mountain? What hill are you willing to die on? This plays into this is what the apostle's trying to say, and what my point of the message is today, to ascend to something that's higher than the feelings and the things that we think and all of those kind of things. Somebody wrote this, and where I got it from, but it's really, we should never be indifferent about our own souls or the souls of others. We should never be indifferent about it. We should take that as a part of our duty and our care to care for our own souls and care for the souls of those that are around us. So Paul makes this expression here in the middle of all of this. It's really easy for us to want. We know we're right. And I just ain't comfortable until everybody knows that. I want, in the conversations, I want you to have the truth. And I know what it is. And I have a perception of it. But you know what I find out is the trouble with the perspective I have? I felt the same way about that 30 years ago. And I found out 30 years later that I didn't have it all right of the things I was trying to tell people. I had a lot of inaccuracies, and I like to use this example, and in my mind it's a little vague, but I've told it many times here, but I want us to understand this because it's very important in this conversation. I draw off of this so much that I have a perspective that other people don't have necessarily, and I don't see it all. And so it's like having a column of numbers and having a few places in there that there's a variable. We'll put a letter. There's a, you know, 2 plus 2 plus 3 plus S plus M plus 5 plus 4. You can add up the numbers, but you're always going to have to put in there, there's an S and N that's in there. And we don't know what the value of it is. And so we can't really know what the conclusion of it is all the time because we don't have all the information, if that makes sense to you. So this is the illustration I got. I've told it here before, but it was something like this. Linda, I said, honey, what shirt do I wear? Linda irons my clothes and gets them ready for me. So, what shirt they're wearing. And she says, the blue one's hanging on the door. Honey, there's no blue one on the door. Yes, there is. No, it's a green one. No, it's blue. It's a blue shirt. No, it's green. There was a shirt, and it was, the best I remember, it was white and blue and green. And I knew I was right because I could look at this shirt, and what stuck out to me was obvious. It was obviously green. What she saw when she looked at it was obviously blue. I'm going to tell you what the truth was. It was a white and green and blue. That was the shirt. I mean, that was the truth. But my perception was that I would have called it a green shirt, and I don't know how anybody could not call that a green shirt. How can you possibly look at that situation and not call that green? There's something wrong with you. You need to be converted into seeing the green shirt. I was so, you know, I remember thinking, I got to know what the truth is. So I got down technical about it, and it was as blue as it was green. And it was as green as it was blue. And neither one of us said white, and it was as white as much as it was green or blue. It was a perception that we have of things. So Paul's dealing with all of this, and so instead of saying, and this is very important, Lord help us here. The Lord wants us to be something here. He wants to make us like He is. Jesus had a purpose, and it wasn't arguing about a green, blue, white shirt. And you could see that arise when people came to deal with Him about stuff. He transcended their thinking. He went above their thing. They wanted to deal with mundane things about Mary won't help me and my brother won't give me an inheritance. And Jesus transcended their thinking. You really want to die on that mountain? Martha, come on. You really want to make a fight? Hear about these duties. Or you want to make an issue about something that we all know perishes? Jesus transcended it all. Paul here is talking about a world to where I can see him coming in and having a heart's desire that the congregation that was there, the people that was there, would love one another. And that they would be mounted together with one another. And that they would be what the church is supposed to represent. I can put my socks on. I can put my sock on and my shoe on, and my other sock and my other shoe, and you can put both your socks on and then your shoes. It isn't debatable. It doesn't matter. So Paul comes along under this scenario of them. Can you imagine trying to get them all to agree on how you should do one of the holidays? The Jews was very particular about not eating certain meats, but they was as equally concerned about the meats that they did eat. There was meats that they really eat. I mean, this you got to do this. And there was other meats that they didn't eat. Can you imagine some old guy coming in, just got converted from, he's this pagan, he's heathen, and he loves these pork chops. And he comes in and he gets saved, and the Lord blesses him in his soul, and everybody knows he's different, and he says, praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for this pork chop that I'm about to eat. You imagine the dissension. Well, he could run the place out. There's so many things there that was being dealt with about this, these issues about this. And he said, Paul comes along dealing with this thing, and he wants them to transcend all of that and truly love one another and love the cause of God more than their own causes. And I'll be the first to admit, I can get so wrapped up in politics sometimes. Well, I'll tell you something. This is part of my thinking. But yesterday, we got a very pleasant visit from a lady we know. Well, I'll tell you, it's Miss Franny Alakakos. She She is such a sweet lady. She come by to bring us something, but we invited her in, and she come in happily, and we come in, and it was such a nice visit with her. She's such a nice lady. And at some point, she made the comment, said, "Governor Justice is in Cass. Now he's going to take the first trip. He's going to ride the train or something." She was telling me all about it, Justice, and I said, "Well, I ought to go down and talk with him a while. I'd like to talk to the governor a little bit about some things." And I like that. And anyway, we got to talking a little bit. I don't know what her persuasion in those things are at all, but I'm going to tell you what. I felt the biggest concern that I am not about to go into an area with this sweet lady. I'm not going to, that ain't a mountain I'm going to die on. That ain't a place that I'm going to have anything that she can't walk into our home or feel, she would come in and feel uncomfortable about something I might say about politics. It seems awfully important. But the Lord didn't really make it important like that. He's transcended it every time. When they come and tried to corner him about whether they pay taxes or not, he said, "Look at the coin. Not a big deal. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and to God that which is God's." He transcended it all. So I remember having such a feeling of warmth and gratitude that she came in and talked and all of that. And I don't know what she thought about it, but we ended up talking about, you know, that Governor Justice was going to run for Senate against in Manchin seat and all of that. And it would have been really easy for me, if it had been you all, I would have. to set got into that, and it was very little said, but all at the same time I felt this great caution. This is what Paul's talking about. Follow. Now this is the term. Let us therefore follow after the things, not just happen on the things. This seems to, if you'll allow me this liberty, that seems language that means that you've considered, you're purposed. You follow after, you've made a determination that I'm going to go a certain way. And for the gospel's sake, for the sake of God, for the sake of souls, I am not going to cause disruptions. There was a thing last Thanksgiving. Well, actually, it was all there just about ever since Trump come on the scene, because Trump was the epitome of aggravation, right? I mean, listen, I ain't going on anybody with Trump. I'm just telling you, it stirred so much up, and there were so many places. And do you want to be known? Your epitaph on your stone: "I voted for Trump 2016. Or tombstone, MAGA. I ain't saying there isn't worthy causes and there isn't things that matter. But the apostle knows within the body of Christ there's going to be diversity and differences and thinking and all of those kind of things. And there's a place and time we never take on evil. We don't do wrong. But we're to be patient, long-suffering, and follow after the things that make peace. The things that give everybody around the ultimate opportunity to live in peace, to be in peace with one another. Follow after it." In other words, don't start no arguments. And when arguments come about things that don't matter, there's always this statement: we should pray about that. Let's pray for our president. Well, if it's it depends on who he is. Well, no, the one that you think he needs it more, maybe. No, really. On a political scale, I say this from the political side, necessarily Obama's policies and ways. But I prayed for President Obama. And I prayed for his girls. He had young girls. There must have been a lot of strain. I know there's a glory to being a president's daughter, but there'd be a lot of strain on it too. There'd be a lot of things that you couldn't do normally. And I remember praying for them sincerely. Lord, bless them and help them. Keep them protected, because there's probably a lot of people that want to harm them and hurt them. Sincerely, we prayed. Follow after, it says, the things that make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. So he's trying to get us into a mindset and a heart. Instead of being combative in heart, it all comes because I have a particular thing that outweighs everything else. I have a cause. I have a purpose that outweighs everything. The purpose is not to get everybody to agree with us. You all follow me here. It's not to get everybody to agree with us politically. That's not the goal. The goal is not for everybody to see the issue on abortion like I see it. It's a good goal, but it isn't a transcending one. Jesus comes along and teaches us to transcend that, because if you can get someone to salvation, you will take care of all of the rest of the problems. Or you'll give them the best opportunity for God to work on them. How many of us in here, I know we've been influenced by everybody. I thank the Lord for the influences and the good influences we had. But is anybody really willing to stand up and say that somebody has saved me? Not me. I need the Lord. You need the Lord. I try to go around ministering and telling what the Lord gives me and doing all those kind of things, but I can only point you to the one that can save you. And in His timing, He'll do it right. When we think we've got to do it, we'll ruin it. Many times we'll ruin it if we do it that way. But for us to focus our hearts and minds, to follow after the things that make peace. Lord, help me, because I am by nature argumentative. Y'all didn't let you in on something. I like debate. It can be good. I mean, there is places, especially the old, they gave a lively debate. Our whole government is set up, parliaments and senates and stuff, is to be a deliberative body, to be able to speak your peace, change people's minds, all those kind of things. I still believe that's true with the gospel. There's a place to say, well, I don't see that scripture like that, brother. Well, let me tell you, you can do it with the right spirit, in the right way. It doesn't mean you're not my brother if you don't see it that way, if you don't wear the same thing or you don't do the same thing. You can be my brother anyway. It take a lot to make you not my brother. That's the spirit. You'll have to prove it. You'll have to go away to make you not my brother. Follow after the things which make peace. Sometimes it can get awful, down awfully close. I'm thinking about a scripture. I've used it many times. You can look at it if you want to. I'm just going to go through the story. But 1 Samuel 17, one of the famous events of all the scriptures was when the little boy David took on a giant, Goliath. But there was a whole story leading up to that time. And he was compelled. David was compelled. It wasn't, I'm going to make a name for myself, or I'm going to show something. He goes up. Jesse tells David to go up to the battle, where they was set in array, and take some corn and some bread and some cheese, and take it up and greet his brothers and greet the captain. And it was a greetings that he sent, and David was the ambassador of Jesse's greetings. And he goes up there, and when he gets up there, out comes Goliath. And he goes up there in his small child mind. He goes up there with an expectation of the great God that he had heard all the stories about. This was my interpretation of this. And he went up there and he saw the whole armies of Israel cowering down to the enemies of God. And he was stirred. And he said, when they accused him, we know the naughtiness of your heart. We know you come up here to see the battle. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not something bigger than we are? Or a blue or green shirt? Or how you label yourself politically? Or how you see what you might eat? You know, God can deal with each one of us individually. And he can tell you, you want power. I remember Brother Larry Abbott saying one time, he questioned him about something. He was drinking. He said he never felt nothing about it. And he was questioning the Lord about it. And the Lord told him, I'll give you power if you give it up. If you lay that down, I'll bless you more. He said, it's gone. I'd rather have the blessings of God. God never told me that, but he told him that. God can deal with each of us individually. Is there not a cause? Do we not have a cause? Is somebody that comes and walks into your house not a cause? It's a cause to God. Is somebody you meet at the post office a cause? It's a cause. What is our cause? Is people confused about what the cause is? I'll tell you, in the world, take my criticism right, in the world of Christendom, it's confused because there's too many interlaying causes. People don't know what it even is about. Christianity ought to shine out the witness of Christ. The witness of love to souls that ought to win out. There ought to be a cause. There ought to be a singleness of purpose and of cause. The other cause can lay under this cause as long as it meets this cause. But this cause that God wants us to have is the cause of the soul. We should never be indifferent about our own soul. You know, one of the problems with... Oh, I think I wrote this down. This came from a section of Matthew Henry, and he talked about the modes and the forms and the dogmas of religion eat away its essentials. Now, I hope we get this. There is some things that belong to salvation. They are the essentials that you would say. What is the old song? Give me that old time religion. What's it say? Makes me love everybody. That's an essential that you would say. The old time religion, it changed my life. I used to people I couldn't stand. Makes me love everybody. Makes me do right things. Old time religion. There's some essentials that go along with it. And he wrote that the modes and the forms and the dogmas, the creeds that people come up with, eat away at the essentials. They literally will destroy and take their place. So in the place of the essentials, people become very religious minded. They become very dogmatic about what they believe, what they will eat, won't eat, won't do, where they won't go, all this stuff, and makes people transform into that same system and has lost the essentials that make the gospel clear, a clear sound to those that hear it. And then the essentials are eroded away. And now it's a proper thing to become combative with one another to the point of running you out the church building if you don't behave. I saw this. It was one of the most upsetting, I'll say, controversial things to me. This preacher, and he was on fire. And he was a preaching. And he told his congregation members that if you vote a certain way, you can get out of here. We don't want you here. And I was like, Lord have mercy. Really? wouldn't the essentials be better? Maybe someone doesn't see things right. How are they ever going to see it right? Do you remember when the disciples got the notion and asked the Lord for the power to bring some fire down? I've had that attitude about fire so many times. I mean, if there's anything I ever had to say, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm sorry that I'm thinking the thoughts I need something more than I've got right now because I feel like fire coming down. All right. And the Lord transcended their thinking totally and told them, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to bring fire down. The Lord reminds me that there was a lot of fire reserved for me. Let us follow after the things that make peace and that edify one another, that we might edify one another, not in the battles that don't matter, in the places that don't matter. You like Ford, I like Chevrolet. People's got in fight over Tickle Me Elmos. There's somebody died over Tickle Me Elmo. People are doing and fighting and struggling and wrestling road rage and all these kind of things that's happening now. Lord, help us to follow after the things that make peace. Find the opportunity. Yeah, it's frustrating sometimes to get in a line. I joke about it a lot, whether it's actually true or not. I don't know. It sure seems like it. It seems like every line I get into stops. It's because I'm always in a hurry. See, like every time I go into if there's two lines at McDonald's and I see one of them move, I'll get over there, it'll stop dead, and every car that'll go by me come in 5 minutes later, it seems. Everything seems. I went to when I got up there, wasn't anybody at the Dollar General. I run in to get something, one item real quick, and I got over there, and a woman with a big cart full got right ahead of me, just right ahead of me, just missed it by a little bit. And a lot of times if they see you, they'll say, oh, well, you only got one item, go ahead. And I would have took her up on this one. I mean, she had a whole cart full of stuff. And I stand back there going, at least wanting to get her attention. She couldn't see me. She didn't know I only had one. I wanted to try to do something to get her attention. She didn't pay me no attention. And finally she gets through. She takes all of her stuff through the line and does all that. And she gets out of there and she starts to pay for her stuff. And she whips out her money and her cash and she comes up and she comes up short. And I'm ready for my wallet. I'm reaching. I'm going to pay for her. And she's so much short and she's apologetic. And she says, well, I don't have enough. I got to go to the and I'm standing there. And of course, by that time, the people come in behind me, and there's several people back there. So the other register opens up, of course, and the people back there goes through. So everybody that was way back there gets out of the store before I do, and they're gone. And then I'm standing there, and she's out at the car and the cashier's just sitting there. Follow after peace. Do you believe in God? I don't have to be mean to that woman. I don't have to be mean to her. She's doing the best in life she could. I don't know who she is. Doesn't matter. That's not the hill to die on. Lord, help me. I've just run into somebody that I can bless in a hard place. Or I can sit back there and make sure that she sees my face looking like that. You know. We run into life, don't we? Everywhere we go. Sometimes the cashier, I remember running through one time and someone was giving the cashier a hard time and I see they needed something. Ended up being, it was their first day on the job. Anybody ever have a first day on the job? You ever nervous, don't know what you're doing exactly, you're not efficient at it? You're not a bad person, you're not evil, you don't hurt people, you just don't know what you're doing. And people was given kind of a hard time. It wasn't going well. Follow after the things that make peace. I come and said, it's okay. If I wanted to get out of here, I'd have come quicker. I'd have come earlier. It's okay. Lord, help us to have that spirit of Christ and follow after the things that make peace, not only in the world around about us, but Lord, help us to do it in our own homes and families. Help us to make peace with the things that are there. Some things just plain don't matter. It just don't plain don't matter. And I've made enough mistakes in life that I ought to be very merciful for everybody else around that has it. I've been wrong enough about things that I can be merciful to the people that are wrong. Lord, help us all that we would see it as a journey that we're going on together. And as David looked and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause here? Yeah, there is a cause. What a cause that one kind word might mean eternity. One kind word. How many stories have we heard to where someone in a certain situation took the time or the effort or made a certain gesture that kept somebody that was considering killing himself from killing himself just because they showed a little love and a little concern at a time that was necessary to do it? So there's a diversity. We can be greatly challenged, and this is my answer from the Lord for me, we greatly challenged by this woke world that we're living in and for this pathetic reasoning world that we're in. There is an answer for us. That's to follow after the things that make peace. Have the Spirit of Christ, not the one that would bring down fire, but the one that would care, love and care in a difficult time. People are trying a lot of times to deal with this idea of sin and what life is all about. They don't need knockdown. Maybe they will never come. But it's our duty to leave a door open and leave the opportunity that here is the answer. God still loves you. You pray for me.